My apologies. I had forgotten to turn on the goddamned... what do we got here, man? I had forgotten to turn on the goddamn video cast. And that was my brother there, Alex, letting me know the video cast was not on. And so I was sitting here talking about... Now, what kitty cat is this? I got a picture of a kitty cat here. Look at this kitty cat. Let's see. Somebody sent me a picture of a kitty. You guys can't see that. But now, whose cat is this? I'm seeing some cats this morning, and this one really needs it. She won't stay out of my face, sweet thing. Then on the body shop. Yeah. Well, I need to get a pet around the house. I think it's time for me to... I've often said, you know, I would like to have a dog, but dogs are very, you know, care-intensive animals. You know, they need to have you there. You got to walk the dog. You got to feed the dog. You got to pet the dog. You got to sleep with the dog. You got to be with the dog. Dog, 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 dog. And that's as it should be. That's what dogs are. Dogs are pack animals. They need to be in the pack. They need to, you know, say, what's, you know, what are we doing today? What's the, what's today's, you know, agenda? And whereas cats, they have their pal, they have their buddy, and that's what they do, you know. And if they ain't got one, they got another, or they're just sleeping. Cats spend a lot of fucking time sleeping because it's part of their biological need. It's a part of the cat reality, man. Their metabolism is such that they got to have, you know, lots of sleep. And so cats, you know, they need to have this, and they're an easy animal to have. So, you know, naturally in my life, I've tended to have cats. And I don't, you know, I like cats a lot. I don't get, you know, people who don't like cats, that's fine. You don't have to like cats. People that are cruel to cats because they don't like cats, which are very few and far between, and they're basically mentally disturbed motherfuckers, they just don't want to do any of that shit in front of me because I don't give a fuck if you don't like cats. Doesn't matter to me. You know, you don't have to like them. Doesn't mean you got to be abusive to them. And so, and that includes your goddamn kids, too. Children who are going to grow up to become scumbags often start out torturing animals. And one of the things that they do is they, you know, abuse cats because there's lots of cats. They're all over the god. Cats are outdoor animals. Cats are everywhere. And cats can be very friendly and go up to humans, you know. But so if, even if it's a fucking kid, I'll drop that kid off the top of a fucking building. You know, if I see a kid, well, it's a dumb animal, Phil. I understand it's a dumb animal. You know, and dumb animals are going to die in, you know, they get run over by cars, they get, shit gets dropped on them, shit happens when you're a dumb animal out there in the world. I understand that. But to purposefully cast aside whatever humanity you have to inflict pain and agony on a creature for your own curiosity or amusement indicates only one thing. You got to go down, you know, because if you're doing that to a cat as a child, you will do that to a human as an adult. No ifs, ands, or fucking buts. You will do that to a human as an adult unless somebody stops your fucking ass. And so not that I have any problem with children. I love children. But if I see some poor fucking kid that, you know, the poor child, look at him. He's abusing an animal. Well, it looks like I got to toss him off the top of a building. Come here, kid. What are you doing, mister? I just... You know. That's just the way it's got to be. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I was involved in an incident with a cat. I was walking through a parking lot one night, years and years ago, and I saw a cat... A mother cat with a kitten. At the time, I didn't really know what was going on. I don't think I'd ever seen a feral or at least a outdoor cat walking along with a little tiny cat in her mouth. And I didn't know whether she was a mother cat or whether this was a tomcat or a male cat stealing one of the cats. I don't know what was going on. So I remember stamping my foot and scaring the shit out of this cat. to the point where it dropped this kitten. And that's what I wanted it to do, because I wanted to get the kitten and, you know, save the kitten's life. But this cat, once she dropped it, she backed up and she came at me. And I went toward that kitten, and by God, she got between me and this kitten. This was a human being now, who had come out of the dark on her, who had stamped his foot and made a growling sound. I did something to scare the cat. And she was initially just shocked and alarmed. And she backed up. She dropped the kitten. She backed up, looked at me, sized me up, and said, "Oh, that's Henry. That's not going to be a problem at all." And no, but I mean, cat would have done it with anybody, I guess. And she moved toward me, and I moved toward the kitten, and she moved toward me. And there was the very clear message for Phil Henry that this was not going to end good for me, because this cat was not going anyplace. That was her baby. And that's when it dawned on me. Like, what the fuck am I doing? She was obviously moving her litter from one place to another. I don't know, you know. But it was fucked up, man. I felt so bad for this mother kitten, and I finally backed off, and she grabbed this kitten, and off she went. And it's almost like I wanted to, find her and help her, you know, help her move her kittens. But I, whatever the fuck, I've always been a sap for animals. I mean, I just, you know, they're showing this guy, they're showing this program about people with hair on their face. And this guy's having his portrait done with his family. It's him, his wife, and then all of his kids, and they all got hairy faces. I'm sorry. Can you imagine that? You have a whole bunch of kids, the kids, the husband, they all got the hair on the face, and you're just, okay. But at least she, you know, she hung with her family, and this is a medieval family. They obviously have some, look at this. This is a portrait. This is amazing to me. What did you do? What did they do? How did they live? Okay. All right. Program note this morning, we're probably going to have an hour-long show because I have a doctor's appointment that I got to get to. Pardon me for my fracturing of the English language. Other program notes of note. Let me see. We're 2 weeks out from our sold-out show at the Hollywood Improv. We want to remind you, if I'm not mistaken, I think that we're still, we are registering people at our website for the drawing of the VIP package that will allow you VIP seats for our show, as well as a swag bag, as well as a meet and greet, and a few other things. We're also going to have at the show merchandise for your perusal and consumption, if you so wish, like hats, t-shirts. We're probably going to have some of our CDs, which are our classic CDs. One of the other things that we're going to be doing here on the website, among other things, is lots of downloads. We're going to be providing download purchases for you at our website, and that's going to be just kind of forthcoming here in the next few months. Just thought I'd update you. I want to start doing packages such as Best of Steve Bozell's, Memorial Day features with Lloyd Bonafide. And then the other thing that we're going to be working on is that Steve Dooley hip-hop track called I Cuddle Like a Motherfucker. He can't get it up, but he can cuddle like a motherfucker. And that all due thanks to Lauren for that. She inspired that. And then there's just some other things that right now I'm not even thinking about. Also, the Huffington Post yesterday featured a review of our, they didn't review it, one of the bloggers reviewed it, but it was in the Huff Post of our current podcast. And I was, to be honest with you, I was stunned that we didn't get ripped. We actually, I wouldn't say that it was a glowing review, but it was from a traditional fan who, let me just get it up here on the screen. And once again, there I am with the get it up, sorry. This is yesterday's Huffington Post, yeah. Podcast review, the new Phil Henry show. What's so new about the new Phil Henry show, especially if it's already up? And this is written by Mark Hershen, reviews the new Phil Henry podcast, Huffington Post comedy. And it goes on to say, what's so new about the new Phil Henry show, especially if it's already up to episode 157 as of Monday this past week. Well, the fact is that Henry is now a podcaster as opposed to being a broadcaster, which he was since 1973 when he got his first terrestrial radio gig outside Orlando, Florida. This is a guy that actually knows shit about my show. I mean, it takes a few passes, I guess. It takes a few maybe interviews for people to finally put the whole goddamn thing together and get it right, you know, which not that it's a big thing, but yes, I did start in Orlando. It was 1973. It was outside of Orlando. He's right about that. And my name is Phil Henry. Thank you. People calling me Bob Hendry and Bill. For the past couple of years, he's been slicing and dicing the archives of his fame broadcast into podcast-sized pieces, but as of March, he's washed his hands of the flagging radio biz. Now he does a morning podcast Monday through Friday, joined by the cast of crazy characters that used to interact with live callers on the air. Folks like Margaret Gray, General Shaw, David G. Hall, and Jay Santos now spend most of their time getting in Phil's way, it seems, as he tries his best to get through news stories of the day. In this edition, Henry sounded off about last week's firing of Anthony Santos. You mean Anthony Cumia. From the Opie and Anthony show on SiriusXM, offering some suggestions how Opie could survive by going it alone. Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police called in to comment on a recent TSA ruling about confiscating cell phones and laptops with dead batteries, but an odd speech impediment kept him from delving too deeply into the subject. And Don Berman from Channel 19 News called in from Disneyland, but was being hassled by people in the park for being a 40-year-old man standing alone and wearing Mickey Mouse ears. While I missed the fun of Phil broadcasting bamboozling unsuspecting callers with his amazing ability to be many people at once, his formula works well in this new format, too. There. That's the extent of the positive. This review, originally posted as part of This Week in Comedy Podcast on Splitsider.com. Mark Hershen is host and executive producer of... what is that? Succotash, the comedy podcast. Righteous. Thank you, Mark, for at least noticing our podcast and giving it a thumb up, a thumb up the butt. No, it's decent, man. You know, anything, we'll take anything, man. You know, but to be honest with you, in the parlance of the day, all I want is to get paid. You see, I just want to get paid. And to that end, as I mentioned, the sold-out one-man show coming up in a week and a half. Now then, this coming Saturday, I will be joining my close personal, very tight drinking partner, Derek Waters. Derek is a professional acquaintance. And we'll be filming a segment. I don't think I'm talking out of school on this. Filming a segment, as will other narrators for the Drunk History television show, the hit Drunk History television show, the Emmy Award nominated Drunk. Am I right or wrong? I think it was. Ed? I think I'm right about that. I think it was nominated for an Emmy. The Drunk History, or it should have been if it hadn't been, or hasn't been, for a special sort of behind-the-scenes feature that Derek is doing on Drunk History. So I'm going to be with him, you know, talking about that. And there will be other people, too, as well. Some folks who were narrators on the show. Then, of course, the Drunk History itself is due to air at some point. And I think I told you we went to the Drunk History premiere party, which is a couple, 3 weeks ago now. And it all came rushing back to me because everybody was asking about it. I met a lot of nice people. I saw Morgan Murphy there from Two Broke Girls and other comedy guys and just a bunch of... I met Derek's family. But in any event, people were asking me about the episode. And now I got to tell you, and I think I mentioned this on the pre-show. I don't know if I did. It's always nice when someone says to you, you know, your episode was the best one of all. Okay. Do I believe it? Most of the time, if not all of the time, I don't. But I'm not I'm not angry, but I appreciate the effort. You know, I appreciate them saying, "Boy, yours was, in my opinion, yours was." But somebody said to me, and it was one of the producers, one of the associate producers, and it was somebody with, you know, some, I would say, heaviness related to the show. They said, "Yours was the best fucking episode." I said, "Yeah, well, you know, no. I'm not just blowing fight. Yours was the best." Now, this was an episode that we cut at the end of which, and I'm going to have to ask, I got to ask him this because, I got to ask Derek this, because when I walked in there on that Saturday to do the show, and I was really looking forward, I mean, how could you not look forward to sitting back, drinking fucking tequila, and talking history? I mean, it's, to me, there's not a whole hell of a lot in this world that's better. Yes, there are a few things that are better, okay? And I guess I have to make sure that I trot out my heterosexual, you know, credentials and say, and sex is one of them. Or homosexual credentials, whichever. But sometimes the sex ain't better. Sometimes I'd rather, goddamn, in the words of my close personal friend, the Swede, I'd rather be at home with a good book. Which he said famously one night as we were at the Pink Lady Lounge watching one of the worst reviews I think they'd put on at Gwats of Time. It was, you know, I mean, we were out there and we were having... What year was that, man? When were we fucking out there anyway? What the fuck were we doing out there? When did we have the old boot? It was one of the old boots. Right? I don't know, man. It was one of our golf tournaments. And we had concluded one round. I don't know. It might, was it before I split and went off to Atlanta, or was it when I came? Oh, I know exactly when it was. It was the 96 old, it was the 95. It was the 96 old boot at Mission Hills. It was out in Palm Springs. It was one of those Palm Springs courses. God damn it. Which one was it, man? It was 96. Yeah. And it was in the desert. And now I remember, because I was staying at that Esmeralda Inn there on 111. I was staying at that big fucking, I don't even know if it's there anymore. And because by this point in my life, I no longer had to, you know, I could afford to get my own room, you know, because all the old boots that we had before that, I was always rooming with another guy. And I finally, because of my advancing age and more to the point, my prima donna nature said, I think I'd like to just go ahead, guys, and make my own, you know, if you don't mind. Because I'd been hanging with these cats, you know, and staying, just to justify what I was. And one year, we were in Vegas, and I was rooming with, I forget who, it might have been you, it might have been Tim. And, you know, I bought a hooker. And so I needed to have, I'm kidding. So anyway, it was the 96 boot out there at fucking Mission, whatever the fuck. One of those really, it was one of the really nice courses above the 10, above the freeway. Not on the Palm Springs, Palm Desert side, but on the other side of the freeway. Really nice course. So we break and we head down to the Pink Lady Lounge, and which is was always a standard thing. It's like in Vegas, you know, just to, for nostalgia reasons, you go to Olympic Gardens. Well, in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, for just for nostalgic purposes, we go to the Pink Lady Lounge. It, had I known about Frank Gray's Exotica, we would have been out there. That place is goddamn, you know. But I didn't know that Frank had a club out there. So now I do. Although it's been since shuttered because of liquor license violations. But I, and somebody got a little too friendly with the dancers, so Frank had to shutter it. But, and I think it was Frank that got too friendly with a dancer. I put that in quotes. Now, I put the word in quotes, meaning about 6,000 of his dancers. So I'm out there, and the goddamned, I'll be a son of a bitch if they don't start the show. And I was enjoying it, and I think the other guys were, but Carter was there. They had the USC football game on. And, you know, because it's kind of sports bar and dancers and all kinds of shit going on. And we're throwing back some beers, and I don't know what else is happening, you know. But out come the dancers, the chicks, and this, it just was like one sort of average thing after the next, which... I don't, I mean, to me, you know, given the minuscule size of my brain and penis, if that's so, if you so wish to think that, I any dancer is you know, any day's a good day. You know, any dancer is a good dancer. Any female dancer is a good dancer, particularly naked. So, but there's Carter just, you know, like, what? And then he's I said, what the fuck are you watching the game for? He goes, are you kidding me? He said, this is... And that's when he uttered his famous line, I'd rather be at home with a good book. That's all. That's all the rest of the story. It's the buildup was way more, was way more bing, 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 bing.
Jesus, Phil, you really are gloiting out this morning, aren't you?
What do you mean, gloit out?
You're gloiting out, Phil. You're babbling and bubbling. The words, they're English words, but they're put together.
Yeah, but the way you're putting the words together, Phil, it's coming out like fecal matter. All right. I want you guys to know that in a lot of the bullshit we do on the show, there's a lot of references to taking shits and stuff like that. I don't have a fascination with that. It just, to me, is about as low as it gets in life, you know, if you can compare somebody to that. So we always go for that one. All right, so in other words, if you'd like to go to the Huffington Post blog and review the see the show, I'm kidding. It was a nice review. Anybody else who has nice things to say about our show? I know there's plenty of people who got bad things to say about our show. That much I do know, given the nature of some of our, shall we say, former fans. That's just kind of how it am, you know. By the way, when you get really old and you have this condition, this hair on the face, the hair on your face does get gray. That they just showed this guy. Gives a whole new meaning to the term silver beard. Okay, sure. No. That's okay. So Johnny Winter, God bless you, Johnny. Here we go. We're gonna start the show now. We'll probably do a little bit of reminiscing about Johnny Winter on the show today because I did see him once in concert, and I also listened to his music. Paul Compton, my late friend Paul Compton, who turned us on to Johnny Winter. He was the first one to have his music around. So we've rejoined our tune-in feed, and we've rejoined our Listen Live feed here, and let's rejoin our radio show, world-famous Phil Henry Show here. As I mentioned, we will be talking a little bit here about the passing of Johnny Winter. Also, you know, whatever else is going on in the news.